chapter 6. I'll probably mistakenly say Genesis now for the rest of my sermon because of the precious little gift, Genesis. I'll be thinking Genesis in my mind. Revelation chapter 6. The scroll, the seals, and next week we will see the sealed. And so now that we've opened our Bibles, let's open our hearts, okay? Father, we thank you for your word, which is truth, in a world that is so filled with lies. We thank you, Lord, that every cross T, every dotted I, every yacht, every tittle is God-breathed. It was given by your inspiration for us. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing it is to still have the freedom this morning to gather together in this wonderful nation and to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth, to read your word, to fellowship, to pray, and to do all of those wonderful things, Lord, that you've blessed us with. And so this morning, we just commit this time to you. Pray that not only would our Bibles be open, but that our hearts would be open to receive your word, that we would be changed, that we would be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, that you've begun the good work. You promised to complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, give us a good, solid meal this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing I forgot, you know me, I've got mustard seed faith on occasion. And tonight is the Passover Seder, where we see Jesus Christ as the Passover Lamb through the Passover Seder. And so what I decided to do last week is invite the temple president to come tonight, and she accepted. And so her and her sister will be at the Passover Seder tonight in their temple, and they will see Jesus Christ in the Scriptures as the Passover Lamb. So pray that her eyes would be opened, that they would see Jesus tonight, okay? It's pretty exciting to me. You know how I love Israel, I love the Jews, and so. Revelation 6. We'll read it through, and then we'll come back and see what the Lord has for us. Verse 1. Now I saw the Lamb opened one of the seals. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud like thunder, a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow. And a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out. And it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death and Hades, followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. And the sky receded as a scroll, when it rolled up and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Now this morning we see an amazing contrast from what we saw in the last two chapters, chapters 4 and 5. In chapters 4 and 5, we witnessed the throne room of heaven, the heavenly scene. And John was called by the Lord to come up here. And Scripture tells us that immediately John was in the Spirit, beholding the throne in heaven, and one who sat upon the throne, which was, of course, God. What must that have been like? Come up here. Those are the three words that we as believers are waiting to hear from the Lord. Come up here. When that time has come, when the fullness of the Gentiles is in, we're looking to hear the trump of God sound and the dead in Christ rise, and those of us who are on the earth to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so how exciting it was for John to hear those words, come up here, and immediately he was before the throne of God. It's amazing how we tend to forget that in one instant, in one moment, in one split second, how our lives could be changed for all eternity. How we could be called home, whether it be individually, through death's door, because every one of us in this room is like a milk carton. We have an expiration date. We've been allotted so many breaths and so many beats of our heart. And one day, should the trumpet not sound, we will leave this place and the Lord will say, come up here. Are you ready to come up there? There's only one way that we can come up there, and that's through having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's only one way to heaven, and Jesus said, I am the way, the only way. I am the only truth. I am the only life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Because there is no name under heaven by which we must be saved, other than the name of Jesus Christ and Him alone. God makes it very simple. In chapter 6 now this morning, we hear another three words, come and see. John goes from come up here to come and see. And now the Lord is going to show John what is going to take place here on earth after the church has been caught up into heaven. And John's focus this morning now will be looking back down upon the earth from heaven. We'll have one of two views, won't we? You're either going to be in heaven looking down or you'll be on the earth looking up. That's pretty scary that in one moment, in one split second, how your life will be sealed for eternity. Chapters 4 and 5, we witness the worship of God in heaven. I think that kind of inspired our worship group this morning because, man, the worship was heavenly this morning. It was incredible. Now in chapter 6, we are going to witness the wrath of God on earth. And there are a lot of people that have a problem with that. But you know, oftentimes God is just portrayed as a God of wrath, where the real truth of the matter is God is love. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And because God is holy and God is pure and God is love, He has to judge sin here on earth. And He gives us a free will to choose whether we want to experience His love, receive His forgiveness, and spend all eternity in heaven with the Lord, or whether we want to take our chances, thinking we can get in our own way and end up being separated from God throughout all eternity, because God has to judge sin. We have holy God in heaven this morning. We have sinful man here on earth. Now, as we saw in our outline, back in chapter 1, verse 19, we're now in the third section of the outline of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the things that will take place after this. These are things that are coming in the future. These are future coming events. Boy, haven't we had some coming attractions lately? I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But John said, after the church age, the church will be in heaven with Christ, and then we will see that God's judgment and God's wrath will come upon the earth. Now, if you're with us last week, John saw, when he got caught up into heaven, he saw the one sitting on the throne, which is God, with a scroll in his hand with seven seals upon it, in his right hand. And it was then that a strong angel cried out, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose the seals?" And there was no one, Scripture tells us, there was no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth who was able to open the scroll or to even look at it. And the impact was so intense upon John's heart and John's life that Scripture tells us that he began to weep convulsively. He just began to weep uncontrollably because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to read it or to even look at it. And it was certainly a hopeless situation, to say the least, when all of a sudden Scripture tells us that John turned around and he beheld in the midst of the throne stood a lamb as though it had been slain. And there standing in the midst of the throne was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. The lamb that was slain. If you're with us here last week, that word slain shocked me when I looked it up in the original language last week, because the word slain in the original Greek language means that this lamb was butchered. This lamb was butchered for you and for me. He willingly and lovingly came into this world and was slain for the sins of mankind. The Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. And it was this Lamb of God that was slain that reached out and took the scroll out of the right hand of the Father. The title deed, according to Psalm 2, of all that the Father had promised him through his sacrificial death on the cross, there he was, the Lamb who was worthy to take the scroll and to open it and to read it and to look upon it. The title deed, which could only be opened by the Lamb of God, the appointed heir, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And so it's now here in verse 1, where the Lamb which was slain opens the first seal, as John writes. And notice what he writes. Now I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice, like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Now, of course, we know from chapter 4, verse 8, that the living creatures, of course, had six wings, a seraphim, with eyes all around. And it was this living creature that said to John, "Come and see." So four times we see in the next six verses, we will see those words, "Come and see." And John will write these things that he saw. And we'll be looking at these things in a little bit more in depth here this morning so that we can see what John saw. And the first thing that he notices here is a white horse. Now, as we will see in the next seven verses, John is going to observe four horses. And it's interesting because this white and red and black and pale horse parallel that which Jesus shares or that which Jesus speaks of prophetically in Matthew chapter 24. They just line up perfectly. In Matthew 24:3, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives with his disciples, they came to him, and Scripture tells us that they asked him privately, kind of a sidebar. And you know, what they asked him is a common question today amongst people. What will be the sign of your coming, and what will be the end of the age? Good question. Questions, would you say? These are questions that many people are asking today. Believer, unbeliever, and making believer. Make believer. They're wondering, what is going on? What in the world is going on today because of all that we see happening? I bet deep down inside, in every one of our hearts, we're all wondering the same thing. What will be the sign of His coming and the end of the age? And as I've shared on occasion over the past few weeks in Revelation, the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, is not fortune-telling. It's forth-telling. And God lays out in Scripture very clear that which is to come. And this morning we get a glimpse of that which is to come with the four horses that we're going to see. But in Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus answers that question, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age, right off the bat He says to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Right off the bat. Take heed that no one deceives you. You know what really amazes me? Not only in the world, and that should be expected, there's a lot of deception. But even worse yet is that within the church today, there's a lot of deception. There's a lot of false teaching, a lot of false doctrine. People are getting away from the Word of God. They're coming up with their own biblical interpretations. And even as I shared about 3 weeks ago, there is now a gay Bible, which is an oxymoron. And I'll take it a step further. The guy that wrote it had to be a moron because he's tampering with the Word of God. And the Bible says very, very clearly that you don't mess with the Word, paraphrase. You don't take away from it and you don't add to it because this is the yea and amen of God's Word and we don't mess with it. And how sad it is today that the enemy not only joined the church, but now he has his own Bible transliterations. Notice I didn't say translation because there's only one translation and that which is given by the Holy Spirit, that which is God-breathed. So there's a lot of deception today. Take heed that no one deceives you. And I would challenge you with the same thing here this morning. Take heed that no one deceives you. We need to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to know the word of God. Even greater yet, we need to know the God of the word. Because unless you know the God of the word, you can't know the word of God because it is given by the inspiration of God. And so in Matthew 24, Jesus said, that many shall come in His name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You see a lot of that going on today? I was told that there's over 500 men in California alone that claim to be Christ. And so the white horse, right off the bat, the first horse that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24 is the white one, speaking of false Christ in verse 2. How about the red horse? Jesus spoke of him in Matthew 24 as well. He said, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. That's the red horse that we'll see when we get to verse 4. Then there's the black horse, verse 5. Jesus said, nation will rise against nation. There will be famine. Fourthly, in verse 8, the pale horse, where Jesus said there would be pestilence and plagues upon the earth. And he goes on to say at the close of his Olivet Discourse that all of these are the beginning of sorrows. And that word sorrow in the original language, you moms that have given birth to a child are very much familiar with. The word is odin. It means contractions. It means travail. It means birth pangs. Meaning that once that first birth pang starts, they get closer and closer together and more intense. And I believe right now that the birth pangs have begun with what we see going on in the world. And the contractions are getting closer and closer and closer together and even more intense. I believe we're very, very close to what we're seeing here of that which is to come. And so, here we are with the white horse in verse 2. And John says, and I looked, verse 2, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow. Notice, no arrow. And a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. And so, on this white horse, John observes that the rider has a bow and a crown. And he goes forth conquering and to conquer. This, of course, speaks of Antichrist. We find in Daniel chapter 9, verses 26 and 27, that there is a prince that will come. That shall come, and he will make a covenant with Israel. Aren't they ripe for that right now? Peace for land, peace and safety. And he will come, and he will be a peacemaker without even firing a shot. There's no arrow here. Without even firing an arrow, he will go from victory to victory, and he will finally control the world. Antichrist, the one here that we see on the white horse. How about the crown, you may ask? Well, that's why it's good to get yourself some study material, eSword, Strong's Concordance, to look up these key words like crown, because there's more than one crown mentioned in Scripture. The one here with Antichrist is the Stephanos. It means a victor's crown. The one that Christ has, Christ's crown, is known as a diadem. So that just shows us, again, this is not Jesus Christ on the white horse here. Diadem is the kingly crown, the crown of our King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, in John's next observation, the second seal, another horse. And notice what he writes in verses 3 and 4. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse. Fiery red went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. Notice the progression here, again, with the birth pangs. You see, Antichrist's conquest begins with peace. He's a counterfeit, brings false peace. Yet he soon exchanges the empty bow for a sword. Which means that globally, military warfare will break out. And look what's going on right now. We've got wars and rumors of wars all over the planet. Even within our own nation, don't we? People are shooting each other up. Military warfare breaks out. And peace is taken from the world, it says here. Complete chaos. Great wars. Tremendous loss of life. Bloodshed like never seen before. And of course, the greatest and of which will be Armageddon at Christ's second coming. And there will be bloodshed there in the valley of Megiddo up to the bridle of a horse. That's what is to come. Interestingly enough, a little side note, is that even the UN will fail drastically in their peace efforts, trying to bring peace to the world. When we were in Israel, we had a messianic guide, Ronnie Cohen, from the Levitic tribe. And he was a born-again believer. And as we were on the Mount of Olives, he says, "I want you to look over to the right here. You see that building on the right over there?" And we're all looking, "Yeah, what's that?" And he says, "Well, that is called the Hill of Evil Council." Okay. The Hill of Evil Council is where Judas Iscariot betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. We all know that. But it's also the location of the enemies that invaded Jerusalem on two other occasions. Every time Jerusalem had been invaded, it was from the Hill of Evil Council. So now we're going, okay, so what's the deal with the building? Well, the building that now sits on the Hill of Evil Council is the United Nations building. Coincidence? I don't think so. Get your head out of the sand. Right there on the Hill of Evil Council. Third seal. The black horse, notice, verses 5 and 6. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." That's the third time, "Come and see." You know what that reminds me of when I read "Come and see"? John is being told to come and see that which is coming to take place. But, you know, I find those words as well in the Gospel of John. That was what one of the disciples said to his brother, "Come and see." And I couldn't help but think this week when I was putting the message together is that we as believers need to be inviting people, not to church necessarily, but to come and see who Jesus Christ really is. I know that some pastors would give the go team, go, let's have a membership drive and all that. So we don't do that here. God calls us to go and to be light and to be salt. And invite your friends and relatives and loved ones and enemies to come and see who Jesus Christ really is, because very soon these things will begin to take place. And I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of friends and relatives and loved ones that still have not received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And folks, if there's ever a time that we need to invite people to come and see Jesus, it's right now. God has given us all His Word. He's given us, if you're born again, the Holy Spirit. There's nobody with any greater gifts or talents than the other. God has given us all the gospel, the gift of faith, His Word. And I think it's about time that we sense the urgency and we go out and tell those to come and see. Anyway, back to the third seal. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature, verse 5, say, "Come and see." And so I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." The third seal that we find here speaks of famine. Famine usually follows great wars. As a matter of fact, the black horse here, according to Jeremiah 14 and Lamentations 5, black speaks of famine in the Old Testament scriptures. And so war and famine go hand in hand with the devastation that takes place on the earth. And the next thing you know, there's a food shortage and there's government rationing. That could happen very, very quickly in this nation. Just by having a fuel shortage, by having our fuel cut off, whatever it might be, you know what's going on in the Middle East and all. But can you imagine what would happen in our nation if we had a food shortage? I noticed when the tsunami hit Japan how very orderly and lovingly and decently the people got in line and they took care of one another when they got their rations or whatever they needed, medicine, whatever. I really don't believe that would happen in America. Hello. Have you seen what happened when we had hurricanes and the devastation that was on the East Coast? There were people looting, people stealing, people coveting and all of those things. So I can imagine what would happen in America, or what will happen, because these are the things to come, when there will one day be a food shortage or a famine. Point being, you don't want to be any other place than heaven when this horse race begins, believe me. And it is all coming. Here, John writes about just a simple food staple like grain, how it will cost a man a day's wages just to feed himself. And so with the believers gone, and without the Holy Spirit, what are you going to have? A bunch of selfish people. And a man will go out and earn a day's wages just to feed himself. How sad. Nothing for his family. The removal of all entitlements, a word that we hear quite frequently lately. Yet here it says that the rich will be enjoying an abundance of oil and wine. Can't we see that happening? Everybody else is in America is having to cut back and downsize, but yet our government is beginning to grow in an abundance of their oil and wine. Fourth seal, before I get in trouble. Verse 7. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." And so I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Amazing. Because when there's war, when there's carnage, and all the beasts go out and devour the carcasses. The pale horse we see here, the fourth seal. Plagues and pestilence. Aren't we ripe for that as well? Incurable diseases. Diseases and bacteria and all that antibiotics can't touch. Wonder drugs, we call them, can't touch. You see, here we read that death claims the body, but Hades claims the soul. And a lot of people today think that once we die, it's like we cease to exist. But in all reality, every single one of us gets eternal life, either in heaven or in hell. You get two choices. And the choice is yours. You can't blame God. You can't blame anybody else with the very fact that you spend eternity separated from God if you do, because God has given you a free will. And God has made every effort to reach you with His Son, with the gospel, with the good news of Jesus Christ. It's His will that none should perish, but that all would come to a saving knowledge of the truth. And so here with the pale horse, the fourth seal, we see hunger, starvation, pestilence, death over a fourth of the earth's population. That's got to be what? Over a billion people. I remember about 2 or 3 years ago, I was watching 60 Minutes, and they had a program on the Center for Disease Control. I don't know if any of you remember that. And how they showed that they have concrete bunkers underground in the depths of the earth which contain viruses and diseases and bacteria for which there is no cure, and they could wipe out the whole population of the earth. Isn't that heavy? We're sitting on a match head, man. Do you know that? Right now, we're sitting on a match head. All these things surrounding us, but yet, the good news is this, is that Jesus Christ wants us to come up here. That's the bottom line. I tell you what, oftentimes people say, oh, I don't like that hellfire, brimstone. Pastor Joe, you're so insensitive. You talk about hell and all of those things. But you know what? You don't have to go there. You can be saved by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Are you trying to scare me to death? No. I'm actually trying to scare you to life. And life more abundantly. That's what God would have us to do, is to have life, and life more abundantly. And these things should put a sense of fear in our hearts. Not for the believer, we don't have to fear. But it's got to put a certain amount of fear within our hearts for those that we know and love that don't know Christ yet. And that's why I sense the urgency for them to come and see, come and hear. Share with them, love them, pray with them. Let your light so shine before them that they would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I just sense an urgency in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's not like every time a missile's fired in the Middle East that we go to Revelation like a lot of churches. We have worked our way through the whole New Testament, and I think it applies more today than it ever has in the history of the church, because we're closer to the coming of the Lord than ever. I think this is pretty exciting stuff, and it should get us excited. And we don't have to sensationalize. We don't have to come up with all this stuff, Star Wars stuff. Just read the Word. Understand what the Word of God says. And know what we have in Him. And yes, the pestilence and plagues will come. No antibiotic, no wonder drugs can stop them. But I shared with the first service, and this isn't in my notes. There's no wonder drugs, no antibiotics, but for the believer, we have a pill. We have the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the hope that we have, the gospel. And it takes care of everything, doesn't it? Everything. Now, in verse 9 to 11, John observes the opening of the fifth seal, the blood of the martyrs. Notice what he writes. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were completed. This is the blood of the martyrs. These are the tribulation saints. Those that were saved during the tribulation period. You know, when I was looking at this week, I'm thinking, why go through all of that? Why have to die for your faith when Christ has already died for you? And why do you have to get your white robe then when God wants to give it to you now? Duh, that's a no-brainer. Because Jesus Christ, when He comes into your heart and is your Lord and Savior, Scripture tells us that He robes us in His righteousness with white robes. Don't you think it would be wise to accept Him now instead of taking your chances? Why? Because there's no guarantee that in the tribulation period that you would accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because in a moment we're going to see those who tried to hide from the Lord when the mountains were disappearing and when the islands were disappearing, try to hide in the rocks, trying to commit suicide. They certainly didn't come to a place where they wanted to accept the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time, while your heart is tender, while the Holy Spirit is putting that holy fear within your heart, today is the day of salvation. You need Jesus right now. I just so sense that there are people here every service, every week, that think, mañana, next week, I'll do it later. Religion's for old people. I agree with that. Religion is for old people. But we don't have religion. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have a wonderful relationship with Him where all things become new. We've got joy unspeakable. We've got peace that surpasses all understanding. Why would you want to just live a life of torment and pain and all the things that come with just living for yourself? Jesus wants to save you today. Here we find the martyrs, the blood of the martyrs. You see, in the Old Testament, the priest presented an animal sacrifice before the Lord at the brazen altar. And so here the souls of the martyrs under the altar indicates that their blood was shed and that their lives were given sacrificially for the Word of God, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. These were the tribulation saints who were martyred for their faith and have been given those white robes. Have you got your robe spiritually? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If you're not sure, if you don't know, you can be assured of that today. Why wait? Lay your life down now. Jesus said if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll gain eternal life. And that's God's desire for you and for me here this morning. Last section. Sixth seal, cosmic disturbances. And I looked when he opened the sixth seal, John says, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it was rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. That's pretty heavy stuff, would you say? Now, a lot of guys try to sensationalize stuff. I don't. Just read it. This is enough. You know, would you say? Instead of trying to, you know, do the boogeyman thing, and ooh, the boogeyman's going to get you. I don't do that. Earthquakes scare me. I don't know about you, but earthquakes scare me. They get the old heart thumping. The one we had last week, Tina and I were in the office. It starts shaking, and so we just embraced one another, and we shake, rattle, and roll together. And I said, what a place to go to heaven from. Church office. Only other better place would be in a church service. That's where I want to be caught, taken up. Or whatever. And it's always what flashes in your mind? The big one. Don't you hear that on CBS News every day in the valley? You live in the San Andreas, well, the big one. Man. Earthquakes. You know where the greatest earthquake fault is in the whole world? Mount of Olives. Yeah, that's where Jesus is going to touch his foot down and the earth's going to split. Of course, by that time, we've already split because he looked beyond my faults and saw my needs, as the old hymn says. I know, that's an old one. I've worn that one out. The sun becomes black as sackcloth. For the sun to be blotted out, total darkness. If you've ever been to Carlsbad Caverns, they take you down on the tour and all of a sudden the light goes out and they say within a matter of, what, minutes, you can go insane. So can you imagine what will be going on the earth when people begin to go insane in darkness? The moon become like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth. You know, when I was back in elementary school and all, we never had asteroids flying by. You guys remember any asteroids going by? How about lately? We've had coming attractions. You know, it's like, the movie's coming, and in the meantime, I'm going to send you coming attractions. The one that hit Russia was 150 feet wide. They're coming. They are coming. And we're, you know, mankind, and it's rebellion against God. NASA thinks they're going to come up with something to explode these things before they get here. Are you kidding me? I hope they're a good shot, because we won't be here anyway. Anybody read the newspaper this morning about NASA? I just happened to read it before I came to church this morning, talking about asteroids. And they asked this NASA scientist what we should be doing, knowing that the asteroids are coming. You know what he said? Blew me away. Pray. You read it, didn't you? He said, pray. How do you like that one? Pray. What a novel idea, because, folks, they're coming. They're going to fall out of heaven. Charles Spurgeon said that the sin of mankind is so wicked that hell's going to come out of heaven. It's coming. Asteroids and all the oids and roids. And isn't it interesting as well that the cataclysmic movies we all have now are just kind of hardening people's hearts towards that stuff? And people just kick back as if it's some video game we're watching here. They don't think this is some sort of video game going on. When judgment begins to fall upon the earth, notice, the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig drops trees. Late figs were shaken by a mighty wind. They're just hitting the ground all over the place. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it was rolled up. Isn't that in the "It Is Well With My Soul"? When it rolls up at a scroll, rock and roll. When it rolled up, and look at this, every mountain. How much is every? Every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Those of you that live close to Palm Springs over there, and you see the desert floor go over, and all of a sudden, bingo, right up to Idlewild, right? Huge mountain. It's not the biggest mountain in the area either, or in the northern hemisphere, or in the world. Well, Scripture tells us very clearly here that the mountains, every mountain, and every island was moved out of its socket, out of its place. And again, do I need to expound on that? No. But man, this should put fear in your heart. Again, if you're saved, no sweat. But if you have friends and relatives, loved ones, even your spouse, your kids, whatever it might be, this puts a healthy, holy fear in my heart that I need to start telling them, come and see. Come and see. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, look at this, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. They're going to try to commit suicide, and they can't. We'll see when we get further into the book. They'll try to kill themselves. They can't. They'll try to hide from the wrath of the Lamb. Now, oftentimes when you think of an animal with wrath, you usually think of what, a lion? Some, you know, fierce animal, but the wrath of a lamb. So stop and think about that. You know, all the big football teams and stuff always have lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. But a lamb, the wrath of the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sins of the world. And they try to hide from his face. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? We have two choices, don't we? Right now, we can receive the love of the Lamb. You don't have to receive the wrath of the Lamb. Today, you can receive the love of the Son of God, who loved you and gave his life for you. It's a simple choice. He wants to love you. He wants to give you a new heart, fill you with joy and peace. He wants to give you what this world cannot offer you. The Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? How about you? You know, if you stand for Jesus, literally right now, you won't have to stand before him one day. And the Bible says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God the Father has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And folks, I just know there's some of you here that really need to be saved. You need the love of God in your life. Don't think you'll be here next Wednesday, next Sunday, whenever. Today is a day of salvation for you. Because once it happens, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, your eternity has been settled. And here's the challenge. Jesus died naked on a cross for you. Will you stand to receive Him? And if you would like to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd like you to stand quickly right now. The angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner accepts Christ. Anyone, as we close, today is the day of salvation. Quickly, as we close. Praise the Lord. Stay standing. Okay. The ice has been broken now. Anybody else? This is the single most important decision you could ever make. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? The love of the Lamb or the wrath of the Lamb? Praise the Lord. What is your name?
Jessica.
Jessica.
Good morning.
Okay. Pray this simple prayer with me to invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. Would you do that, please? Okay. Dear Lord Jesus, pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus,
please forgive me
for all of my sins.
Come into my heart
and be my Lord. Be my Savior as I give my life to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Seal me for the day of redemption as I give my life to you. And I thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Congratulations. Let's all stand one more time, okay? If the worship group would come forward.